They were at war with, they are still ruling right now. How come they forgive them in 20 years? If that's the scale of how you forgive people, then they might be willing to forgive Daesh in the 20 years. That's the first thing that you need to understand. And how did they justify for the past 20 years that taking taxpayers' money to pay for the school and the hospitals in Afghanistan, and now somehow that is not relative, now somehow that is not important? They went in 2001 to justify women's rights and used that to get into Afghanistan and said that women were being abused. Right now, women are not being abused. Women are not starving. Children are not starving. How come they're justifying it right now? How come they're so okay with it right now, now that the same people are ruling the country?
Pashtuna Durrani, want to thank you for being with us, activist and executive director of the educational nonprofit Learn Afghanistan, visiting fellow at the Women's Center at Wellesley College in Massachusetts. That does it for our show. A very happy birthday to Renee Feltz. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warnoff. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland, no compromise in defense of the truth.
KBOO's end of the year drive is happening right now, and we invite you to become a member today by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. Contribute now through December 31st. And your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 thanks to the generous support of the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Join the KBOO family today at kboo.fm/give.
KBOO radio station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala, bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish and support harmony within ourselves and set the stage for praxis.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, we bring you audio from a teach-in held on Thursday, October 14th, 2021, on the struggle of the Apache stronghold to protect and save land sacred to the Apache, known as Oak Flat. Oak Flat is located east of Phoenix, Arizona. These are holy grounds that Apaches have lived on, worshipped on, and cared for since before recorded history. The Apache people are defending Oak Flat from forcibly being taken over by Resolution Copper and turned into one of the largest copper mines in the world. The teach-in, hosted by the California Poor People's Campaign, included presentations from members of the Apache stronghold. The purpose of the event was to spread the word of the threat to Oak Flat and the issues involve religious freedom, indigenous sovereignty, and protecting the environment. The U.S. government has repeatedly attempted to take the lands from the Apache Nation, and their case will be heard at the Ninth Circuit Court in San Francisco on October 22, 2021. Members of the Apache stronghold have been on a spiritual convoy from Oak Flat to Northern California, which will culminate at the court case. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities, are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
I'm Max Pringle with these headlines. President Biden will visit Kentucky today to survey tornado damage and offer federal support for the victims of the devastating twisters that killed dozens and left thousands more in the region without heat, water, or electricity. More than 30 tornadoes tore through Kentucky and four other states over the weekend. The storms killed at least 88 people and demolished homes, downed power lines, and cut off residents from key utilities as temperatures dropped below freezing in Kentucky earlier this week. Biden will visit Fort Campbell, Kentucky for a storm briefing, and Mayfield and Dawson Springs to survey storm damage. More than 800,000 people in the U.S. have died of COVID-19. That's according to Johns Hopkins University. The striking feature is that more than 200,000 of those were after vaccines were made widely available. The U.S. has the highest reported toll of any country. The U.S. accounts for approximately 4% of the world's population, but about 15% of the 5.3 million known deaths from the coronavirus since the outbreak began in China 2 years ago. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said vaccinations and boosters are the best protection against the virus, and the White House is continuing to press that message to state and local officials.
We know that that can be protective in against Delta, which is still the predominant variant here, but also we're seeing increased protection against Omicron, even as we learn more.
The true death toll in the U.S. and around the world is believed to be significantly higher because of cases that were overlooked or concealed. A closely watched forecasting model from the University of Washington projects a total of over 880,000 reported deaths in the U.S. by March 1st. Congress voted to raise the debt ceiling early this morning. Democratic majorities in both chambers voted to send a $2.5 trillion increase in the nation's borrowing authority to President Biden. The legislation was passed on a near party line vote, 221-209. It puts the issue off until after the 2022 midterm elections. The action came just hours shy of a deadline set by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, warned last month that she was running out of maneuvering room to avoid the nation's first ever default. Police in eastern Germany have carried out raids in an investigation of alleged threats to kill a state governor and others by opponents of coronavirus restrictions and vaccinations. They said they found weapons, including crossbows, but it wasn't clear whether they were usable. Feature Story News' Trent Murray reports from Berlin.
Several homes were raided early Wednesday by police investigating a plot to kill the governor of the German state of Saxony. Police say the threats were discussed by anti-vaccination groups who used encrypted messaging app Telegram to discuss plans to not just kill the governor, Michael Kretschmer, but also members of his state government. Saxony has the lowest state vaccination rate in Germany and has been a frequent hotspot for protests against coronavirus restrictions. Trent Murray, Berlin.
California is exempting San Francisco from a rule that takes effect today, requiring all people to wear masks indoors to stop a rise in COVID cases. The city health department says San Francisco will continue to allow fully vaccinated people to remove their masks in gyms and workplaces. Nearly 90% of San Francisco residents have at least one vaccination dose, but other counties have much lower rates, and the state is concerned that they will be at risk as the Omicron COVID-19 variant surges. There's also concern that the virus will spread during holiday gatherings. The state mask mandate is in force until at least January 15. A new report shows that by promoting urban forests, cities can improve the long-term quality of life for all residents with a minimum of cost. Public News Service's Michaela Savitt reports.
According to the Nature Conservancy report, urban forests do more than enhance people's quality of life. They help cities retain stormwater, provide habitat for animals, reduce summertime temperatures, and store greenhouse gases. But report co-author Emily Noble Maxwell explains historic zoning and housing policies have contributed to less tree canopy in many communities of color and lower income neighborhoods.
The forest is still inequitably distributed, and there are some neighborhoods that have much less canopy, and particularly in the face of climate change, that's a significant challenge.
And that's Michaela Savant reporting. And I'm Max Pringle. You're listening to Sojourner Truth on Pacifica Radio.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and those were our news headlines. And now we share with you the teaching on the struggle of the Apache stronghold to protect and save land sacred to the Apache Nation, known as Oak Flat. The teach-in was hosted by the California Poor People's Campaign and included presentations from members of the Stronghold. Let's hear from them now. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to our one-hour teach-in on the Apache Stronghold. My name is Margaret Prescott. I am on unceded Chumash land at the moment. We'd like to welcome all of you. Thank you for joining us. I am part of the California Poor People's Campaign Coordinating Group. I'm also the convener of the Policy and Education Working Group that's hosting this teach-in today. The Women's Network I'm part of, the Global Women's Strike, we're partners of the National Poor People's Campaign. I'd like to welcome all of you and turn it over to Kenya Alcocer. Kenya.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kenya Alcocer. I'm also part of the coordinating committee here in the California Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, and one of the tri-chairs of the National Steering Committee of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. We are here very excited that we're standing in solidarity with the Apache Stronghold, and we just want to welcome you and welcome everybody to this so we can learn and we can continue this fight together.
Thank you, Kenya. In our tradition, we always begin with prayers, and we'd like to Stephanie Mushrash from the Chumash Nation.
Oh, thank you. Hunga Maheji, Stephanie Digumdia Kilei. Hello, how are you all? My name is Stephanie. I'm actually from the Washoe Nation of Northern Nevada in California. And I'm honored to open this up in prayer as we are going to be learning about this very important spiritual movement affecting our relatives and our communities. Degmigies miwegayangai wat dialei tovangar umaangwi lagalamit megalam shimui. Thank you, Creator, for this beautiful day, the clear air and the beautiful mountains that we see in the distance, and just thankful for this time that we're coming together to gather in community, gather as relatives, to learn about this sacred spiritual movement to save Chichil Badagutil in Arizona, to learn how to support our Apache Ene relatives, and to pray for Nagosan, our Mother Earth, Nantashu, and to pray for the future generations, as well as those yet to be born, to pray for our ancestors who've come before us, and to pray for ourselves that we can take this time to learn how to come together in a good way and to do things just with all of these things in mind, the Mother Earth, all of the medicines and the water and the land and the air that we still have connection to, Creator. And thank you so much for this time. And all of these people here with open hearts and open minds. Oh, Dinga, thank you. So I just wanted to say, I also wanted to encourage, I know Margaret already mentioned the territory that she's on. I mentioned that I'm on Tovangar, which is unceded ancestral Tongva land, which is so-called Los Angeles. And so just keeping in mind all of the territories upon which we reside, gather and pray, and knowing where you are and whose land you are on, or who are the ancestral stewards of that land. And so thinking of land acknowledgement, always extending and bridging to land back, return of land and stewardship, as well as water rights and all of the things that go with that. So thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. And we are now going to Virginia. Hollis Davidson from the Bay Area Poor People's Campaign will share a song with us. Virginia.
Thank you, Margaret. I'm on unceded Ohlone land.
Thank you so much, Virginia, for that. That was so beautiful. My name is Abraham Enten. I am on unceded Pomo land in Santa Rosa, California. And right now we're going to have the opportunity to view a video which will give us some background on the struggles of the Apache stronghold.
When this place is gone, they're going to be walking to a crater, and I'm going to say, son or daughter, this used to have emery oak trees. This used to have springs. This used to have animals and acorn and tupuje and cactus and yucca where we could build our homes. This had petroglyphs and artifacts, and your ancestors were buried here. How can I say that to them when they're looking at a crater?
In February of 2021, Native American tribes from across Arizona made history, traveling hundreds of miles by foot in a four-direction prayer run to Oak Flat. This coming together of tribes at a holy site was a powerful moment not seen in nearly 200 years.
This trauma is being broken down. These barriers, these obstacles are being broken because our resiliency stays intact. But that's because we had the land. That's because we can come here.
Traditionally called Chichil Betagotel, Oak Flat is a sacred place, a life-giving oasis where Western Apaches and other Native peoples lived and prayed for centuries. This land is critical to their modern-day religion and culture, but soon will be privatized and later destroyed by the proposed Resolution Compromise through a controversial land swap bill passed in 2014.
It's fighting for my future children, because in Apache religion, we have to tell it orally, or we have to take them to the place and teach it to them, what it means to be in the people, and what it means to survive, to tell those stories, to sing the songs, to speak the language. It's all intact to Nagua Sun, the earth. It's all intact and embedded in Chichilbetagotel here. And so, when I think about Resolution Copper taking away Oak Flat, that means it's taken away our life. It's taken away our history and our future.
Nalin Pike is a young Apache woman whose family led a formal return to Oak Flat by her people after generations of forced captivity on the San Carlos Apache Indian Reservation.
Hell's 40 acres is what the Calvary called it. We were at constant gunpoint, not allowed to practice our religion, not allowed to practice our ceremony, not allowed to speak our language. It was only in the 1970s when we were allowed to vote.
Today, the Apaches once again hold traditional ceremonies at Oak Flat and are determined to preserve this place, which is their direct connection to the Creator.
There's so many things that our people have that we bury here. Without this place, without Oak Flat, we couldn't practice the way of life that we practice today.
This spiritual connection to the land is the essence of traditional Apache religion. The holy grounds, burial sites, and sacred springs at Oak Flat facilitate Apache worship and prayers, just like the churches and relics found in other faiths.
Our religion is no different. Our Gan people are the same as what you call angels. Our mounds are the same as you speak of Mount Sinai. Those things are critical in your religion as it is in ours.
Dr. Winslow Nosey Sr. is Nalin's grandfather and a longtime leader in the spiritual battle to save Oak Flat. He has worked tirelessly to educate the public and their elected officials about the value of this place. He's also united tribal and spiritual leaders across the nation and is spearheading a legal challenge to the mine that hopes to secure wider protections for Native American sacred sites.
If you look at everything we've done politically, legally, bringing that information out to the public, we've done it all. They cannot turn away and say that they knew nothing of this place.
Why does our religion as Apache people have to be on trial?
In January, Winsler and the Apache Stronghold Organization sued the United States, arguing that through the land transfer at Oak Flat, it had violated the Apache people's constitutional right to religious freedom.
These prehistoric places means our identity, means our religion, means a sense of belonging. You cannot wash that away. That tells me that the Constitution needs to be modified, needs to be looked at so that it really includes everyone.
After a preliminary hearing, a district court judge in Phoenix denied an injunction to prevent the land transfer. The Apaches appealed this verdict and intend to go to the Supreme Court if necessary. But without this injunction, the Apaches had mere weeks before Oak Flat would be privatized. And once Resolution Copper owns the land, it loses many federal environmental protections, and public access for religious ceremonies is no longer guaranteed. The other destructive impacts of this mine have been outlined in the previous three videos of this series, along with the stories of those most directly impacted. Now, the public is speaking up more than ever to protect our environment and the religious freedom of our nation's first peoples.
We have this time and opportunity to step forward. You cannot turn your back on a place that's going to be murdered.
On March 1st, after strong public pressure, the Tonto National Forest withdrew the final environmental impact statement for the mine just 10 days before the land swap was to take place. This was a major victory for the Apaches, but only provided temporary protection. An act of Congress, such as the Save Oak Flat Act, introduced by Congressman Grijalva, is required to permanently undo the land transfer.
The people that want to do the right thing, they need help. They need the voices of America. But if we say nothing, then they have no alternative that yet again, they're gonna listen to corporations, capitalism, and it's gonna destroy the very environment that we all live in. And then it's gonna destroy the oldest religion.
With over 500 indigenous tribes, 200 organizations, and the majority of public comments in opposition to this mine, allowing the project to continue is clearly not in the public's best interest. It benefits the two largest mining companies in the world while destroying an indigenous religious site that should be protected for future generations.
I'm always staying optimistic and I'm always having hope that this country will change, that diversity and the acceptance of diversity and of our own cultural stories will be accepted finally.
So I just thank the Creator that if you're coming, that He watches over you, be with you here, so that we can protect the environment. But not only that, our holy place, our deities, our historical history, and ongoing way of life.
I'd like to welcome Kenya Alcacer to introduce
our first panelist from the Apache Stronghold.
Yes, it's been an honor to be in the struggle with Vanessa with the Poor People's Campaign and National Call for More Revival. We've testified together in front of Congress, so it's a real pressure to really introduce. So Vanessa Nosy is a dedicated, loving mother of four daughters, a matriarch in protection of her tribal ancestral home and sacred places, and community organizer. Vanessa has always been active and present for her community and people, hold positions such as co-chair of the Basie Sacred Organization, member of the Mountain and Spirit Runners Protect and Conducting Sacred Ceremonies upon Mount Graham, and founding member of the Youth Advisor Native Youth Unite, member of the Poor People's Campaign and National Call for More Revival, organizing member of the Apache Stronghold. Vanessa has spoken before Congress and in multitude of conferences. Vanessa still humbly returns to her lands in which she was raised and continues to honor and protect the place and culture of homes, that home being where her grandmother was born and raised. By example, Vanessa continues to be at service. Welcome, Vanessa.
And I'd also like to welcome Dr. Leanne Bighorst, getting the message. She will speak first. Thank you, Kenya. And Dr. Leanne Bighorst is a member of the Apache Stronghold, a nonprofit community organization of individuals who've come together in unity to battle continued colonization, defend holy sites, and freedom of religion, and are dedicated to building a better community through neighborhood programs and civic engagement. Dr. Bighorst is also an American University of Sovereign Nations Professor of Native American Studies, Bioethics, and Decolonization. Dr. Bighorst also serves as Project Director of the San Carlos Apache Wellness Center in Arizona. Dr. Leanne Bighorst, welcome.
Dr. Leanne Bighorst Gonze, she seven mile you gon shli, she twitter cheatney and shli. Shema Teresa Nosy, Shata Winsler Nosy Sr. Thank you. First, we just want to thank you for welcoming us to your webinar today for the policy and education for the Poor People's Campaign. And right now, we're in our vehicle. We're on our convoy. We're on our spiritual convoy to the Ninth Circuit Court. The convoy began on Saturday from Oak Flat. On Saturday, we had our personal day of prayer, where we came together and we prayed at our holy places at Oak Flat. And we went up to Apache Leap and we offered prayers there. And we hiked three and a half miles up to Apache Leap. And, you know, our area has been experiencing forest fires, wildfires. And then the rains came and flooded the area. And then through all of that, it's like the earth has re-cleansed itself. Because when we walked up through the canyon, it was beautiful. Everything was growing again. And just by that simple example, we see the gift of life and how water can renew the land and the area. And me and my sister and our family, we went to the top and we prayed there. And it's this incredible feeling. It's really hard to describe, but it's this feeling where you're so small in a huge place and you realize that you're just a small piece of creation, and that there's this whole universe that was created as well. And you have this feeling like you're blessed that, you know, how could the creator remember to, you know, create me as well? You know, when all of this beauty and the nature and all these animals and this life was created. And so that's the best way I can explain that feeling of being at Oak Flat and praying in our homelands. As Indigenous people, we, you know, the way we were raised is that you always acknowledge the first the first peoples that are from the area, from the land that you're on. And where we come to you today, we're in Tekineleng, which is the Oatam people. So we're in the Phoenix metropolitan area. And on this journey, we're going from our traditional homelands at Oak Flat, and we're following our black stones, and we've gone to the Tucson area. We were there yesterday. In Tucson, we were welcomed by the Tonaatam, and we were welcomed to their holy place, their sacred mountain, which is A Mountain. And that's where the University of Arizona has put a very large A there, claiming the mountain. And what was amazing was that the Tonaatam, they came and they went to the mountain and they reclaimed it. And they invited us there to be with them. And it was really powerful. And we were very blessed to be welcomed in their land. And then we went to the Southside churches in Tucson, where a whole group of different faiths and religions came together to welcome us at the Southside Church, Southside Presbyterian Church. And they fed us, and they offered prayers, you know, on our journey for the protection of our people, the message that we carry. And it was truly incredible, because here we are making this convoy, spiritual convoy, with prayer. And we come from our homelands, and we enter into other native peoples, indigenous homelands, and we're coming with respect and prayer. And the doors are opening, and the way it was explained to us by our father, it's like walking through different corridors. You have to come with respect and know the elements as you come in, and you respect all living things as you walk through, and they'll greet you if you come in the right way. And this morning we've been with the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community this morning here in the Phoenix metropolitan area. And they welcomed us into the community, into their Oreski, which is their home. It felt really good to just, you know, make sure that we're united as a people. On this journey, our vision is that, as it was in the beginning of our people, we had one drum, one prayer, and one circle. And we defended all of humanity with one prayer, one drum, and one circle. And what's so important about that is, as we come through the different territories from our homelands to the Ninth Circuit Court, is we're coming together in prayer, and we're uniting the people in prayer. And so as we come through, we're being welcomed by all these different tribes and communities, and, you know, different religious people are coming and joining with us and standing with us. And it's a truly incredible feeling. You know, we grew up as a spirit of the mountain runners. You know, from a young age, we've run from the confinements of our reservation off to our holy places to pray. So we have that understanding and that teaching. And with that, it's a whole different experience to get in a car and drive somewhere versus walking somewhere and coming in prayer. So that's how we were raised. So we're following in the footsteps of our father. We're learning, we're growing every day. And I just feel truly blessed to speak to you all today. Thank you for having us. Thank you for understanding why this is important to us. This is our father's life's work, and we are uniting to fight this evil that exists. When we talk about this evil, it's really difficult to put into words, and the best way that it can be described is that when you're a prayerful person, it feels like everything's trying to distract you. It's trying to make you lose focus. And so, you know, one of the things that I continue to pray for is to make sure that I stay focused and I keep moving forward in a good way. you know, as we come from our homelands where it's like peaceful and there's serenity, and you can hear the wind, you can feel the sun, you know, all these things that are natural and God's creation. And then you come down into the city where we are now. We're in the middle of the city right now, and we are on the traditional homelands of the Autumn, but there's a city that's here now. Many of their holy places have been desecrated, and they're in this, their reservation is very, very small. And so they're put in the middle of the city. And here, so a whole different experience when I pray, because I'm surrounded by planes flying overhead and traffic and ambulances and fire trucks and all these different things that can easily distract you. And so I see the difference. But when I close my eyes and I can think of where I am, I'm in these holy places. I'm at Mount Graham and Oak Flat, and I remember the clean air and all these things that are important and why we continue to fight as people. And our journeys, you know, here in the Phoenix area right now, the Autumn land, and we journey to the Peeposh, and we have a Brophy College prep that we're visiting, and on this journey, you know, we're being welcomed, and we're so grateful. We'll be traveling into California and then up to the Bay Area, and all of these tribes, all these communities that we're going through. We're in the same situation. The federal government has put us in a situation that makes us choose between corporations and advancement and progression, and who we are as a people. Makes us look at how we want the future for our children. And you know, I have three little ones. I have my baby who's three, and I think about how life is going to be for him when he grows up. And I'm blessed that he's with us on this journey. We have our children with us. They're learning as well. And I feel like that's what we can do. We can pray and we can teach our children the best way we know how, the difference between what's good and bad. And we can continue to try to fight that evil that exists out there, that's destroying our environment and our water, that's using up all of our water and is putting our religious beliefs and our way of life on trial. So we journey to the Ninth Circuit Court in prayer. On Thursday, the 21st, we ask that people, you know, around the world, wherever you are, if you could stand with us in prayer, you know, if you, you know, one drum, one prayer, one circle, pray with us, you know, sing with us, you know, from wherever you are. We will be gathering at the Civic Center in San Francisco, and we'll be praying there, offering prayers there as well. But it doesn't matter, you know, where you are, what time of day it is, please remember Oak Flat in your prayer. I am going to hand it over to my sister, Vanessa. She's an incredible mother. I know you've heard her daughters talk in various conferences and, you know, just everywhere. And she has taught them respect. She has taught them when it's time to listen, when it's time to learn. And they've just absorbed the culture, and they know who they are. And you know, my children are younger, and I'm so blessed that their cousins, you know, are helping, because in our family, you know, we help each other. And that's what it's gonna take, is those young ones, those little ones, for them to absorb and learn, because even if we think they're not listening, they are.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. We're going to take a quick station break. When we return, we will continue our special on the Apache stronghold and the movement to defend Oak Flat, a spiritual place for the Apache people. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sojourner Truth. You can check us out on our website at sotrueradio.org. If you are a member of Facebook, you can look for us and like us there. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is at sotrueradio. We're also on SoundCloud nationwide and worldwide. And in the Americas, we would like to give a shout out to all of our SoundCloud listeners in Arizona. And internationally, we'd like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners across the border, the northern border in Canada. And you can go to the search bar and type in Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott to find us. Now, we return to our special on the Apache stronghold and the movement to defend Oak Flat.
This is my sister, Vanessa Nosey.
First, I want to thank my sister, Leanne. She's the oldest, so it's an honor for her to feel and think of me in such high regards. Because as a family, we grow together, we learn together, we make mistakes together, and we share that love and support. So, you know, I'm really grateful to have an older sister such as Leanne that has really set that example for the rest of us. But so thank you. And thank you all for being on this Zoom meeting, this listening session, and to hear our struggles, to hear how important Oak Flat is, and how it's gonna take all of us to come together, no matter what face you are, and no matter what color you are, that we're all in jeopardy. Because as an indigenous woman, as an indigenous person, this human being that has received a blessed gift from Creator, from God, of our religion and our way of life is at stake. And it's everything happens for a reason. And for us, for Leanne and I to be on this Zoom meeting with you all at this moment is important, because we just got word from D.C., that the Save Oak Flat Act that was going to be attached to the reconciliation budget bill was just pulled. And we hear that Congressman Tom O'Halloran was behind it, from it not being to have it removed out of the reconciliation bill. And then, you know, to hear that Arizona Senator Mark Kelly had something to do with it not being attached to the National Defense of Authorization Act. And so our hearts are hurt, you know, because when I sit with the Poor People's Campaign, when we have these discussions, and everyone across the world that has witnessed racism, that has witnessed injustice, my people, my indigenous people, my Apache people have continued witness and have felt the discrimination and the injustice since colonialism happened. You know, we're talking over 500 years when the settlers came in and murdered and raped and imprisoned our people. That still exists today. When you hear that the Save Oak Flat Act that was placed to protect the indigenous people, that was placed to protect the Apache people, that was to protect all people, because you have to, you, no one can live without clean air, no one can live without water. And so when that bill is pulled, that shows that the United States is still sitting on the lies of how America was founded, because they cannot, the Indians can't win. The Native people cannot be acknowledged, and their religion cannot be acknowledged, because that means that we were here. It's that decision of over making morals and right decisions based on a decision of greed and evil. You know, we've talked a lot about when are our leaders going to make a moral decision based on our people, all people, because what's happened to the indigenous people imprisoning us is now on all of us. It's just not on the indigenous community. Everyone faces that systematic racism. But remember, they didn't reinvent the wheel. They took what they did to the indigenous people and placed it on all people. This fight is for all of us. How can a foreign mining company come in and be exempt from all federal laws, all laws that were placed to protect Mother Earth, that was placed to protect our future, be wiped? A foreign mining company, that none of their resources that they say that it's going to provide is going to stay here. When is actual change going to happen? It's going to take all of us, each and every one of us, to come together, like the vision behind this convoy, as it was in the beginning, one drum, one prayer, one circle. We must defend humanity again with that one drum, the one prayer, that one circle. Because now they're relying on our court case. All those that are in support to Save Oak Flat is relying on this court case. So we need everyone to come together, everyone to show support, everyone's prayer. We need that one arrow that carries all of us to hit that oldest evil that's in this world, that we call him Eden, that trickster. He's known by Lucifer and so many other names throughout this world, that's there lurking. We ask that you continue to come with us and support us and pray for us and pray with us, because as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, my job is to continue to pass on our oral history, to continue to pass on our religion, our way of life, to defend and protect my children. But now in this time and age, I'm not just doing that for my own family and my own people. I'm doing it for everyone in this world, because if my religion is at stake, so is yours. If a foreign mining company can come in and be exempt and take ownership of U.S. soil, that means that everyone is at risk, no matter who you are. It goes back to that greed of profit over moral values. I need everyone to continue to pray, but also reach out to our Congress people, no matter where you at. Tell your senators, tell your congressmen that this is wrong. Would they allow it if it happened to their people? Would they allow it if it was in their backyard, in their front door? But no, the truth reality is that they're gonna have to admit that they not only lied to the indigenous people, but they lied to everyone. That misconception of how America was founded, that deceit. And they're scared to come out, but they can't. That's where we need to heal as people, as one, in order to have a better future
for our children and those yet to be born. Just as Leanne, being a mother of three beautiful children, I'm a mother of four. My oldest is 22 and my youngest is one. I've seen my three older kids have to take on the fight. It's going to be passed on to that next generation. They're going to have to stand in the front and carry it for all people. But I worry about my youngest. She's so little. What kind of world is going to be left for her? As an Apache, it's scary because I look at it that she's going to be at a crossroad. That's where she's at right now, being at such a young age. And there's people in there to make these decisions for her, which is not right. Because there are these people that have that power to make decisions are choosing the power of evil, of greed, of profit. But she stands at this crossroad. Is she going to continue the fight? Just like her ancestors, her grandparents, her aunts and uncles, her mom, her older sisters, her cousins. Is she going to have to pick up the fight still? Because we know change doesn't happen that easy. Or is she going to have to look at the road and turn and think, what happened? Everything is gone that ties me to being Inez, being Apache. How do I pray? How do I continue my ceremonies? Because everything was ripped. All the natural resources that Mother Earth provides, that the indigenous people use in their ceremonies, in their prayers, because we believe that everything is alive, it has a spirit, is going to be gone. She will no longer be Apache. That's what I worry for those younger generations. So it's going to take all of us here to continue to educate and stand together as one drum, one prayer, one circle, to defeat this evil, to defeat Resolution Copper coming in and destroying Mother Earth and a continued genocide on a religion. The U.S. government choosing profit over moral values and to save humanity, to save a future so that our kids have a world to live in and have a world where they can be who they are and believe in the blessed gift that Yosin God has given them. I need you guys. We need you guys. Because what they did today shows that profit is winning. Evil is there. So please, reach out. Talk to your congresspeople. Talk to the people. Let them know the world is watching and they're not going to stand for it. Like my sister said, we're sitting in the car on our spiritual convoy, taking all the prayers from not only the Apache people and being at Oak Flat, but from all people, our indigenous relatives that were coming into their territories, and our allies that are non-native, that believe in our fight, believe in the spirit, that whatever calls to them that to protect Oak Flat, that spirit is alive, and that's what we're praying for, and that's why we're with them. They're with us. So continue to follow us, continue to go on our website, continue to reach out to your elected officials. Because if we lose Oak Flat, that means that everybody's at stake. That means that
Mother Earth will continue to be destroyed, that you will not be able to turn on your water. You will not be able to feed your kids. You will not be able to stand under a tree and feel the wind and the shelter and the of what it gives you. That means that your church, your religion is at stake. If they get the land, they're gonna drill 7,000 deep into the earth, push in chemicals to separate the copper ore and push out the copper. They said that this is the largest copper ore in North America. After an amount of time, our Oak Flat is gonna be it's gonna sink. It's gonna create this mile deep crater, as big as the Eiffel Tower. You can stick the Eiffel Tower inside this crater. All our aquifer will be contaminated. We talk about climate change. This is a huge climate issue. There's so many things that attach to this fight that will set the precedence for all people. Not just the state of Arizona, not just the indigenous people, the Apache people, but for all people. So that's why we need to come together. That's why we need to put pressure on those elected officials to start making the right decision. So, thank you.
We've heard the conditions and the situation with Oak Flat. And hearing this news about the reconciliation bill is devastating. And our hearts are with you, truly. In a moment, Nell will go over the actions in the Bay Area. What I want to reinforce for folks is there's no better call to action than what we've heard just now. So I'll reinforce the need for ongoing prayer for making those calls. I had the opportunity to be in Oak Flat only once, and it still remains a life-changing experience. And so I want you to know that we're with you. Our call to action is exactly what you've said, for people to pray, to show up, to call their senators and their representatives. Just know that we are with you. For those of you who don't know, I'm Beth Johnson. I'm one of the quad chairs of the California Poor People's Campaign. I'm in Vista, North San Diego County, the land of the Luseno and the Kumeyaay, and my heart is with you.
We're out of time. I'd like to thank all of the speakers featured on today's show, as well as the Apache Stronghold and the California Poor People's Campaign, including the team from the Policy and Education Working Group of the California Poor People's Campaign, the tech team, and all of those who helped to put the teaching together. I would also like to thank the Sojourner Truth team, Romero Funes, our assistant producer, and today's audio engineer. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230. Go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. And remember to visit our website at sotrueradio.org and to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at @SoTrueRadio. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott, and y'all please remember to stay safe.
KBO of Portland, Full Strength Community Radio. This is Kabaka Pyramid representing from Kingston, Jamaica. Baby Rock family, you don't know.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements.